And we sing, Living for Jesus. And that is what life is truly about. As we consider the Christian life, I do want to begin and say I appreciate each one being here. I know we have visitors and we have many that are here on a regular basis. And above all, we appreciate you being here and we appreciate the opportunity to come together to study, to grow closer, to encourage one another, to admonish each other as we continue to go forward in the work of the Lord. Today, as we come together and we spend time talking about the Christian life, I will break it up as I often do. This morning we will spend our time looking at the peace and the joy that a Christian has. And then as we come back this afternoon, we will look at the proclamation and the promise that we enjoy as Christians. As you think about living the Christian life, truly I believe it is the greatest blessing afforded mankind. We have the opportunity to live for Jesus. Now, ultimately, as we consider Paul there in Philippians chapter 1, he begins in verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and he goes on to say, but to die is gain. He said, that's better. He goes on to say in verse 20, verse 22, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. He said, for I am hard pressed. Between the two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, he says, which is far better. You know, if you go back to the Greek there in verse 23, there's actually three words there in verse 23 when he says, which is, three words here, far better. Maybe you would say, very much better, far more much better, very, very good. The idea is that he used three separate words that all continue as the English language, we would say it adds to it. You know, you think about an adverb or an adjective, They help imply the greatness of it. It's not just better. You know, my dad always said growing up, he said, that's more better. You might not say it like that. And Kathleen just gave me the stink eye and said, we don't talk like that. I'm just kidding. But he says it's much more better. He said it's better in absolutely every way. For me to live is Christ. And then he goes on in verse 23 and he says, which is far and above better. He's saying it's exponentially, you're not going to count it. It is that much better. Today, as we look at the Christian life, living the Christian life, we will notice first the peace and joy that a Christian experiences. The Christian life grants a peace or joy that the world cannot comprehend. They cannot recognize, they cannot feel, they cannot understand outside of Christ. In John chapter 14, you flip over to John chapter 14 and you drop down to verse 27. Jesus there speaking says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He said, not as the world gives to you, do I give you peace. But he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. He said, I'm giving you my peace. There is a peace that is enjoyed in understanding that as Christians, we have something in store that is so much better. I think about the peace of a Christian as we go throughout life. You know, there are a lot of people that walk around and they wonder and they say, why was I even born? They said, what's the purpose of me being here? I think about Solomon as he wrote an entire book about the subject and he said, you know, I tried this and I found nothing. He said, I searched here. He said, I tried riches, and it wasn't no good. He said, I had all fame, and it still counted for nothing. He said, I had all the women, if you look at the way that he writes us throughout Ecclesiastes. He said, I had it all. He says, anything my heart desired, he said, he had it. And yet, he comes to the end of the book, and he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. He said, for this is man's all. He searched for happiness in all these places. He searched for contentment, for joy, for peace. He starts out the book, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. You go on as you consider life, he says, "This is man's all, fearing God, keeping his commandments." As you look at John chapter 14, he says, "You want to know what life's about? Peace I give to you." He said, "Peace I leave with you." He said, "But the world doesn't comprehend it. They don't enjoy the peace that I'm referencing, that I'm talking about, because they didn't search for it in Christ. Within this peace," he said, "let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There's no reason to fear. There's no reason to be distressed. Why? Because I know that the blood of Christ cleanses me. I know that as a Christian, there is a hope that awaits if I live for Him. Ultimately, as you consider the peace and the joy of a Christian, our peace comes from our Father in heaven. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, as Paul begins many of his books, you can look at 1 Corinthians, I know 2 Corinthians, I believe in Ephesians. As they start out in verse 7, he says, "To all who are in Rome, beloved of God," listen, "called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace to you and peace. He said, "I want you to enjoy that peace." And he points to where it resides. That peace comes in Christ. From God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. In that they enjoy peace. I think about the life of a Christian and the peace and the joy that we do experience, that we live with, that we enjoy on a regular basis. And I think about the opportunity that the Christian has in the world. You know, Christians have the greatest reason to be happy. And the world has every reason to be discouraged. The world has every reason, as in John chapter 14 and verse 27, to be troubled. Why? Because they say, "I don't know what the purpose is. I don't know what's going to happen when I die. I don't know why all this took place. I don't understand how we got here." Well, the answers are found in God as He gave us the design. You can also look at nature. The answer is in nature, that there is a creator. And yet the world doesn't find peace because they look in all the wrong places. Peace ultimately is enjoyed through the belief in the hope that abounds. Look at Romans chapter 15 as he comes almost to the end of the book and he begins to conclude in Romans chapter 15. He says in verse 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace," notice, "in believing." Okay, we look for in life peace and joy, and he gives us the direction or the answer for where it's found. He says, "Find that hope and peace in believing." He said that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Outside of that belief, outside of that faith in God, he said, you're not going to enjoy hope and peace. You're not going to understand or fathom the hope and peace that is ultimately enjoyed in God. Our joy is tied to the reconciliation. You know, in the song, "Living for Jesus," it recognizes the atonement. During the chorus, it mentions the atonement of Christ. He gave His all for me. If you look over at Romans chapter 5 and verse 11, he recognizes that atonement or that reconciliation. In verse 11 it says, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." You know, as you consider that reconciliation, the problem is that man was separated from God because of sin. You look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, and he says that our sins and our iniquities have separated us from God. You look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 11, and we see the reconciliation that brings us back together, that puts us together with Christ. He says not only that, but we also rejoice. There is joy found in the reconciliation process, because understanding that our sins have been washed away, our sins continue to be washed away. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. We see a lifestyle of a person that lives for Christ, and we see the promise of the blood that continues to cleanse us. As you look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, that rejoicing, that joy that came, comes through Christ. The reconciliation process, which is ultimately tied to his blood, his offering of his blood, which was shed for us so that mankind could have hope. As you consider the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 16, we look at wisdom. And wisdom speaks. There in Proverbs chapter 16, the identity is to obey instruction. You know, I don't know about you, but I've never just enjoyed, you know, instructions. It's like, why is Dad telling me I can't do that? He said, why would they say don't do this? They're preventing me from having all the fun that I was expecting to have. You know, as a young child, I wouldn't understand the purpose. Now today, having my own children, I try and say, Jude, don't do that. You're going to get hurt. Or sometimes I just let him get hurt. But you look at a child and instruction is given, and there is a reason behind it. Wisdom speaks for a purpose. As you grow older, you understand how that wisdom affected your life. You understand how that wisdom protected you. To a large extent, as I think back to some of the instructions that my dad gave me, I recognize that I would probably not be here if I had not heeded some of that advice. You know, we do things when we're young that are really dumb. And hopefully we get the opportunity to learn from them. But as you look at Proverbs, wisdom speaks so that you don't have to learn from it. You can learn from what God says without experiencing it yourself. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20, he says, he who heeds the words, or heeds the word wisely, will find good. He goes on to say at the end of the verse, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Those that heed the word, the instruction, the guidelines that are given, the law that is laid out. You look at God's law, and ultimately he's got a design for the Christian life. Within that Christian life, God has a purpose that you can live the most joyful, happy, enjoyable life. You look at the end of verse 20, he says, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. There is a joy that comes from deciding to do what God says. So ultimately, as I think about a Christian, I think about the opportunity that we have to live. We have an opportunity to go out into the world and to make all these choices that can go one way or another. It can make us better. It can tear us down. You know, you've got some decisions in life that are going to be like a blessing in your crown, and you have other decisions that could haunt you for all of your days. And he says in verse 20 that if you trust in the Lord, those decisions are going to end in you being happy. Or, you know, as you read in Matthew chapter 5, being blessed. You could translate the word blessed as happy. As you go through those Beatitudes, blessed is this one, the one who suffers for righteousness' sake. Blessed are all these people, you could use the word happy. The idea is they are happy. They have an enjoyable life. They're blessed. They find joy and enrichment and excitement and hope in living for God. Back in Proverbs chapter 16, they already had it figured out. If you trust in the Lord, you're going to have a happy demeanor. You're going to have a happy life. Things are going to go your way, and you're not going to have all these regrets. You know, we talk about live without regrets. I think people mentioned that today. No regrets. I don't want to have any regrets. Well, if you want to have no regrets, then follow Proverbs chapter 16, because happy will that individual be. Because they heed the word of the Lord. They trust God's instruction. You know, I think about the life of a Christian, and I say, you know, is there really such a thing as a Christian that walks around with a sad demeanor and crushed all the time, that's discouraged and depressed, can't find purpose in life and doesn't know why to go on? I would say it pushes against what is Christianity. As you look at what Christianity is, the idea is, Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before men. The idea is people look at you and they want to be like you. I don't think that idea is when they walk into the room and when everybody walks away, they say, you know, it sure is depressing to be around so-and-so. They say, I went over there and we talked together. You know, it just ruined my whole day. Okay, what about that makes you think, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? I think within being a Christian, we have every reason to be happy. We have every reason to be at peace. And we have every reason to have joy. As you look at what Paul says, he talks about peace and joy over and over and over throughout the New Testament. Now, that's not to say that we can't have a bad day. That's not to say that things can't go wrong. But you know, as you consider a suffering Christian, the suffering Christian still finds joy. I think about Stephen. As Stephen was proclaiming the good news, he's telling about the Christ, and they decide to stone him. You know, I'm sure that was a bad day if you're the one that's being stoned. And yet he comes to the end and he cries out. He says, don't hold it to their charge. He still found joy in living for Christ and the hope that he had. And so he wanted them to have hope too. I think about 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, he says, you're blessed. You're joyful. You're lucky. He said, do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Don't worry about it. Was there a time of troubling? Was there a time of problems for them? Absolutely. He said, when they suffered, he said, look, you're blessed. Think about Acts chapter 5. You go back to Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. Can you imagine being arrested for speaking on the name of Jesus? In Acts chapter 5, we see that they're arrested. We see that they're thrown into prison. Then they stand on trial. And after going through all this, in verse 41, it says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were thankful that they got to suffer for Christ's sake. Did they have a bad day? Absolutely. And because of that, they said, praise be to God. They said, man, I'm lucky to be a Christian. As we look at the problems that happen in life, sometimes I think we look through the wrong lenses. It's time to get your eyes checked. You know, as you look through your worldly eyes, we might say, you know what, it sure stinks when things don't go right. It stinks when someone looks down upon me because I'm a Christian or I'm made fun of or I'm belittled. And yet when they were caught up and they go stand before the authorities and the high council there as they chastise them, they get on to them. They come back and they gave praise to God that they were able to suffer. They said, man, I'm a lucky man. Why? Because they had on the right glasses. They put on their glasses that were looking forward to their reward. As they look forward to the kingdom of heaven, they said, you know what? It really doesn't matter. Let's bring it full circle. That I wrecked my car yesterday and I lost my favorite car. Why? Because heaven is my home. You go again, it says, it really doesn't matter that friend said they're not going to be friends with me anymore because I'm too churchy. Said it doesn't matter because I'm headed for my home. It really doesn't matter that this depressing thing happened at work. Lost my job, lost a loved one, had any number of bad things transpire in your life. You look back and you say, as long as I've got my proper glasses on, I recognize that there is a purpose for which I'm headed to, and all the rest is just outside noise. You know, you look back and no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is worthy of the kingdom of heaven. You know, remember Lot's wife looking back to where she came from instead of focusing on what's ahead. I think about Peter, you know, the only other man that ever walked on water. Peter gets out of the boat and he's on the water and he is walking, he's standing on the water, he's going to Jesus. But then the outside noise, he looks around and he sees the sea and he gets scared. He forgets. He forgets where he was headed. I'm telling you to put on your Christian glasses and you'll have peace and you'll have joy and there's no reason to be discouraged. Why? Because I'm looking to heaven and that's where I'm going. Otherwise, you're the man that walks out on the water and forgets who you are. You look at Peter and Peter said, help me, Lord. Because he'd forgotten. He had forgotten which glasses that he was supposed to be wearing. I encourage you, put on your spiritual goggles. Put on your spiritual glasses. Get out the lenses that are focused on home. And you will have the most joyous life that is full of peace that can be experienced. And in that, the world can look at you and recognize there is something different about them. There is a happiness when their life is going miserable. When it seems as nothing is right in their life, it's like they still have this happy demeanor. I want to be like them. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified, living for God. Think about James chapter 1. We've been going through James in our class upstairs. In James chapter 1, as you begin the book, he says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials or temptations. Count it all joy when life isn't going great. Why? Because I'm focused on heaven. And I said, no matter what happens here, it doesn't matter because that's where I'm headed. And because of that, there's going to be a smile on my face. You think about all the bad things that can happen in life. And I promise the reward is worth it. The reward is out of this world. And so I tell you, as a Christian, turn that frown upside down. There needs to be a smile and a gleam within a Christian because you have every reason to be excited. And I don't care how bad your day is. You have every reason to praise God because you have a hope and a joy that the world cannot comprehend. But according to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, your light, your joy can make it so that they see a glimpse of Christ in you. Philippians chapter 4, as we begin to close, Philippians chapter 4. You could read literally the whole chapter. We're just going to catch a couple bits and pieces. Go home and read it. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Be full of joy in the Lord at all times." Then he says, "And again I say rejoice." Verse 5, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing." The world's going to be anxious because they don't know where they're going, they don't know where they came from, and they don't know how to get anywhere. Okay? Because when you're dead, you're like Rover. You're dead all over. You know, it's done. They've got no purpose. They've got no hope. And because of that, they are anxious. They're worried. They're concerned. Do they have a reason to have a sad demeanor? Absolutely. But let me tell you, if you've got Christ set in your sights, you've got no reason to be depressed. Because when it's over, that's where I'm going. And right now, the little problems that I deal with are nothing. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything." He says, "By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." He said, pray about it. You got a little problem? Give it to God. You've got a reason to be happy. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." That means I just don't get it. I don't even know why I feel good right now because it seems as though everything's going wrong. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," it just doesn't make sense, "will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Happiness is the way of the Christian because they are protected through Christ. Drop down just a few verses. Verse 10, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." He said, look, I might have been struggling a little bit. Verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I am therein to be content." He said, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. He said, I'm content. Why do you think he was content? I'll tell you. He put on his spiritual glasses and he said, buddy, I might be broke as a joke. He said, nobody around here might like me at all. He said, people can ridicule and look down upon me. People can beat me. He said, but it doesn't matter. He said, I've found contentment in I'm going home. I'm looking to Jesus and I'm not turning back. And because of that, he said, I am thankful. I have joy. Remember, as he talks about this contentment in verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned at whatever state I am therein to be content." He said, I don't care what's going on. Why? Because in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he said, "But all these things shall be added unto you. Your needs will be taken care of. You'll be able to survive." And the end result is he's content no matter what's going on in his life. And he starts this out all the way back in verse 4. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." He knew something about suffering. He knew something about life not going well. If you want to look at the beatings and the mistreatment of Paul, he had suffered in ways that none of us will ever understand, and I pray we don't comprehend it. I pray that we never have to understand as he understood, but he says, I learned to be content. Verse 12, he said, I know how to be full and I know how to be hungry. He said, I know how to abound and I know how to suffer need. He said, but either way, I was content. Within that contentment is the picture of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I was content, and he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And in that, the world can see that you take pride, even when life is falling apart. If you haven't given your life to Christ, I want to tell you something. You do not understand joy. Sure, you can walk around with a smile on your face. Sure, you can walk around and enjoy some of the things the world has to offer because a wonderful God in heaven created it for us to enjoy. But you don't understand joy until your sights are set on Christ and you are marching that way. And if you're not a Christian, I want to ask you, why not? Do you want the peace that surpasses all understanding? You look at a Christian and you wonder why they're happy when their life's falling apart, because it's not falling apart. They're looking to Jesus. You can have that peace too. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, know that Jesus Christ died for you. As you study throughout the scriptures, you'll come to faith based upon that knowledge. Go back to Luke chapter 13, 3, and he says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There's a turning that has to take place. You turn from the world, and you turn to the Christ. And listen to what Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And for you it should be too. Because of that, we're buried in the water and we rise to walk in newness of life, and that is the life, 1 Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, that life is Christ. We live Christ-like. We let the world see Christ through us. And if you're not doing that, you need to make a change. If you've given your life to Christ, but you've fallen from the path that leads home, you lost sight of the cross. You took off your spiritual glasses. Guys, it's time to put them back on. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. We want to help you. If we can help in your spiritual walk, please come as we stand and sing.